Twice a year, all of the priests in the archdiocese gather for a retreat. Our fall one is always focused on kind of some theme of learning. We call it our convocation. This year, they've sent all the priests a book. It's called like Managing Your Strengths or Using Your Strengths or something like that. And the beginning of it is kind of a personality inventory. And the idea is that there are 34 different kind of categories of strengths that they evaluate you in, and they want to find your top five strengths. So you do this little survey, and after 180 questions later, you've found your top five strengths. Well, I finished all 180 questions the other day and printed out my results, and I was not surprised to see some of the things that were up there. I found out that my number one strength was that I like learning, that I'm a learner, I always want to learn new things, that I'm an achiever and an intellectual kind of person and focused on achieving a goal. But one of the things that struck out, although it described me well, I was kind of surprised to see it listed among my strengths, and that is that one of my strengths is competition, that I like to compete, to try to be the best. Is that a strength, really? Like, I had to think about that for a little bit. And I thought, well, you know, it's very true. Whenever my family gets together to play games, I like Trivial Pursuit. I like games of skill, Tri-Bond, and board games and stuff that require, you know, skill. I don't like games that are just purely games of chance. I like games that require a clear winner. I do like to compete, whether it's in sports or board games and things like that. I thought, yeah, you know, competition can be a good thing when it causes us to strive to be the very best that we can be. You know, in fact, St. Paul himself talks about the whole Christian life as being a race. He even says, you know, although there are many runners in the stadium that all compete, the prize only goes to one. Therefore, run so as to win. Yeah, there is a good sense of competition in the Christian life, to be the best we can be. Yet often I think the devil gets in there and he takes something that is good and twists it around a little bit. There's always a tendency that this competitive spirit that can be good can also turn ugly. St. James warns us in our second reading that where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice. Instead of trying to be the best we can be, often we start to look at others and wish that they weren't so good. The first reading shows us this corrupted jealousy where it talks about a just man and people look at him and rather than try to be holy, they say, let's tear him down. Let's put him to a shameful death. He keeps the law and we don't, so let's get rid of him. We see their jealousy and selfish ambition. How often do we fall into this trap, thinking that if we put everybody else down, somehow that would make us better? This is the root of the sin of gossip and detraction. We think that somehow if we bring others down, that brings us up, or it at least makes us seem not so bad. Instead of a spirit of competition that urges us all on to holiness, we instead bring everybody else down to the lowest common denominator. You know, we see this in our work world too. How often we see that idea that in order for me to get ahead, I've got to put a bunch of other people behind me. Or in order for me to get to the top, I've got to step on a bunch of other people and push them down. In all of this, we see that jealousy and selfish ambition that St. James talks about. In a word, what we see here is use. Use of other people for our own selfish ambition. Competition can cause us to see others not as our brothers and sisters, but rather as mere things to be used to get what I want. John Paul II taught us that the opposite of love is not hate, but rather the opposite of love is use. To use another person for my own selfish ambition. Therefore, to counteract this cycle of selfishness and hate, we need love. And this is precisely what Jesus is about in the gospel today. He says to his apostles very plainly, the Son of Man is going to be handed over and suffer and die. Jesus will get in there and disrupt the cycle of selfishness by pouring himself out in love. He disrupts the cycle of use by making himself a complete gift to others. He uses his power, Jesus, who is on top. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He who is most powerful empties himself and instead says, I will use my power to serve. If we look at it, he then gives us this beautiful example of the child. Because the apostles don't get it. When he says, I'm going to suffer, lay down my life and die, the apostles don't get it. They're arguing about who is the greatest. This is part of the theme of Mark, that nobody gets it, and the apostles couldn't be further off. Jesus is talking about unselfishly laying down his life, and the apostles are trying to figure out what's the pecking order amongst the apostles. You can just imagine this like you see it amongst your own kids. I mean, we've got, you know, Andrew sitting there thinking, maybe I'm the best. Peter's thinking, no, I'm the rock. He called me the rock. And, you know, James pipes up and says, yeah, but he called you Satan right after that. Don't forget that. And like, yeah, and you, Jude, yeah, no one even knows who you are. You're nobody. And there's this argument amongst the apostles. And then Jesus has to break in and say, stop it. You're corrupting into selfish ambition, just like James would later write about. Then he takes the child. And he says, whoever receives a child such as this in my name receives me. We often focus on the qualities of a child and what it means to be childlike. But I think it's important in this gospel to see how Jesus uses this receiving a child to disrupt the selfish ambition that he sees going on. You think about it. That climbing the corporate ladder, that putting other people down to get ahead, that idea we have of winning friends and influencing people so I can use them to get ahead. Well, what could be more counter to that than a child? A child offers nothing in the way of ambition. It won't do you any good to win friends and influence people amongst the second graders. They can't really help you get ahead. And it doesn't really do much for your ego to triumph over a second or third grader. I like to go out sometimes at recess and play kickball with the second graders. And I do kind of like it when I kick the kickball and it sails over the heads of all the second graders. And yes, I run triumphantly around the playground. Yes, I'm the king of kickball. And I've beaten a bunch of little second graders. But, you know, in the end, does that really help my ambition and make me feel good? Well, hopefully not. In the end, the kids can't offer you much of anything in the way of getting ahead. Rather, the only thing that children can offer you is a chance to serve. Children demand, 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 and you have to serve them. So by placing the child there in the midst of the apostles who are arguing about who's the greatest, Jesus disrupts it and says, here, look at this. Be like this. This child can do nothing for you. Love that child. Serve that child. Serve one another. In the end, those second graders, after I've triumphed at kickball, you know, they do give me something. Something that's much greater than a kickball triumph. Whenever I walk back and forth between the church and the office, they'll be out on the playground and one of them will see me and they'll be, hi, Father Sean! And I'll wave hi, and then another one will see me, oh, hi, Father Sean, and pretty soon, you know, there are 50 of them out there, and they can't, like, say hi all together. They all wait their turn, and one after another for, like, 50 kids, hi, Father Sean, and you can't ignore them, and then I'll finally get walked by after waving hello to many people, and I'm smiling because as soon as I walk past them, I start to hear, bye, Father Sean, and it starts all over again, and in the end, I get to the office and there's this big smile on my face and I'm very happy. And I don't know exactly why, but those children have, they really have given me something, a great joy in the simplicity. So unlike what St. James warns us about, that selfish ambition and jealousy leads to disorder and ultimately sadness, to be unselfish and just serve leads to joy and happiness. So let us compete. Let us urge each other on in holiness, but let's not fall into the trap of thinking we can put others down to make ourselves better. Let's not worry about who's the greatest. Let's all try to be the greatest we can be and help others to be the greatest they can be, to urge each other on, outdo each other in holiness. Imagine the effect that could have on our parish, our families. Imagine how happy we could be.